They're just rugs, I said.
Anything under them?
Duffy asked.
Maybe those tall ones in back aren't tall at all. Maybe they're resting on something else.
We pulled rugs out one by one and laid them on the road in the order we would have to put them back in. We built ourselves a random zigzag channel through the load space. The tall ones were exactly what they appeared to be. Tall rugs, rolled tight, tied with string, standing upright on their ends. There was nothing hidden. We climbed out of the truck and stood there in the cold, surrounded by a crazy mess of rugs, and looked at each other. There was nothing hidden. We climbed out of the truck and stood there in the cold, surrounded by a crazy mess of rugs, and looked at each other.
It's a dummy load, Duffy said. Beck figured you would find a way in.
Maybe.
Or else he just wanted you out of the way.
Well, he's doing what?
Checking you out? Making sure?
I looked at my watch. Time to reload. I'm already going to have to drive like a madman.
I'll come with you, she said. Until we catch up with Elliot, I mean.
I nodded. I want you to. We need to talk. We put the rugs back inside, kicking and shoving them until they were neatly arranged in their original positions. Then I pulled a roller door down, and the old guy got to work with the solder. He slipped the broken seal back through its channel and eased the parted ends close together. He heated the iron and bridged the gap with its tip and touched the free end of the solder roll to it. The gap filled with a large, silvery blob. It was the wrong color, and it was way too big. It made the wire look like a cartoon drawing of a snake that's just swallowed a rabbit.
Don't worry, he said.
He used the tip of the iron like a tiny paintbrush and smoothed the blob thinner and thinner. He flicked the tip occasionally to get rid of the excess. He was very delicate. It took him 3 long minutes, but at the end of them he had the whole thing looking pretty much like it had before he arrived. He let it cool a little and then blew hard on it. The new silvery color instantly turned to gray. It was as close to an invisible repair as I had ever seen. Certainly it was better than I could have done myself.
Okay, very good, I said.
But you're going to have to do another one. I'm supposed to bring another truck back. We better take a look at that one, too. We'll meet up in the first northbound rest area after Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
When?
Be there 5 hours from now. Duffy and I left him standing there and headed south as fast as I could get the old truck to move. It wouldn't do much better than 70. It was shaped like a brick, and the wind resistance defeated any attempt to go faster. But 70 was okay. I had a few minutes in hand.
Did you see his office?
She asked.
Not yet, I said. We need to check it out. In fact, we need to check out his whole harbor operation.
We're working on it, she said.
She had to talk loud. The engine noise and gearbox whine were twice as bad at 70 as they had been at 50.
Fortunately, Portland is not too much of a madhouse. It's only the 44th busiest port in the U.S. About 14 million tons of imports a year. That's about 250,000 tons a week. Beck seems to get about 10 of them, 2 or 3 containers.
Does Customs search his stuff?
As much as they search anybody's. Their current hit rate is about 2%. If he gets 150 containers a year, maybe 3 of them will be looked at.
So how's he doing it?
He could be playing the odds by limiting the bad stuff to, say, 1 container in 10. That would bring the effective search rate down to 0.2%. He could last years like that.
He's already lasted years. He must be paying somebody off.
She nodded beside me, said nothing.
Can you arrange extra scrutiny?
Not without probable cause. Don't forget, we're way off the books here. We need some hard evidence, and the possibility of a payoff makes the whole thing a minefield anyway. We might approach the wrong official.
We drove on. The engine roared and the suspension swayed. We were passing everything we saw. Now I was watching the mirrors for cops, not tails. I was guessing that Duffy's DEA papers would take care of any specific legal problems, but I didn't want to lose the time it would take for her to have the conversation.
How did Beck react? She asked.
First impression. He was puzzled and a little resentful. That was my first impression.
You notice that Richard Beck wasn't guarded at school? Safe environment.
Not really. You can take a kid out of a college easy as anything. No guards means no danger. I think the bodyguard thing for the trip home was just some kind of a sop to the fact that the kid is paranoid. I think it was purely an indulgence. I don't think old man Beck can have thought it was really necessary, or he would have provided security at school as well, or kept him out of school altogether.
So?
So, I think there was some kind of a done deal somewhere in the past, as a result of the original kidnap, maybe. Something that guaranteed some kind of stability. Hence, no bodyguards in the dorm. Hence, Beck's resentment, like somebody had suddenly broken an agreement.
You think?
I nodded at the wheel.
He was surprised and puzzled and annoyed. His big question was, who?
Obvious question. But this was a how dare they kind of a question.
There was attitude in it, like somebody was out of line. It wasn't just an inquiry. It was an expression of annoyance at somebody.
What did you tell him?
I described the truck. I described your guys.
She smiled.
Safe enough.
I shook my head.
He's got a guy called Duke, first name unknown, ex-cop, his head of security. I saw him this morning. He had been up all night. He looked tired and he hadn't showered. His suit coat was all creased, low down at the back.
So?
Means he was driving all night. I think he went down there to get a look at the Toyota, check the rear license plate. Where did you stash it?
We let the state cops take it to keep the plausibility going. We couldn't take it back to the DEA garage. It'll be in a compound somewhere.
Where will the plate lead?
Hartford, Connecticut. We busted a small-time ecstasy ring.
When?
Last week.
I drove on. The highway was getting busier.
Our first mistake. Beck's going to check it out. And then he's going to be wondering why some small-time ecstasy dealers from Connecticut are trying to snatch his son. And then he's going to be wondering how some small-time ecstasy dealers from Connecticut can be trying to snatch his son a week after they all got hauled off to jail.
Shit,
Duffy said.
Yeah, it gets worse. I think Duke got a look at the Lincoln, too. It's got a caved-in front and no window glass left, but it hasn't got any bullet holes in it. And it doesn't look like a real grenade went off inside. That Lincoln is living proof this whole thing was phony baloney.
No, the Lincoln is hidden. It didn't go with the Toyota.
You sure? Because the first thing Beck asked me this morning was chapter and verse about the Uzis. It was like he was asking me to damn myself right out of my own mouth. Two Uzi micros, 20-round mags, 40 shots fired, and not a single mark on the car?
No, no way. The Lincoln is hidden.
Where?
It's in Boston. It's in our garage, but as far as any paperwork goes, it's in the county morgue building. It's supposed to be a crime scene. The bodyguards are supposed to be plastered all over the inside. We aimed for plausibility. We thought this thing through.
Except for the Toyota's plate.
She looked deflated.
But the Lincoln is okay. It's 100 miles away from the Toyota. This guy Duke would have to drive all night.
I think he did drive all night. And why was Beck so uptight about the Uzis?
She went still.